You're listening to the Artists of the Industry podcast on the A of the I Radio Network. Community, industries, corporate, culture, where technology, creativity, and business unite.
Here we are, here to talk about music on a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, Friday is one of those days we try to, you know, take care of business early in the day mm-hmm. and then try to reserve a little time for not just music as part of the business, but music, you know, to connect for us, even personal. I think music has always been part of the plan to incorporate into what Artists of the Industry was all about. I think music, even though music isn't our primary focus for revenue stream,
mm-hmm.
it is part of the business. I think the music is part of what feeds the soul of Artists of the Industry.
Absolutely.
But it's also part of the business as well, because we are a content company. And without music, content falls very flat.
Sure does.
Great music, great curated music, and the luxury of being able to produce our own music for whatever project that might be, whether it's for our own marketing or for a client or to actually pitch a song and get it licensed through our publishing company, all mm-hmm. of those sorts of things, those are all part of the business. So to be able to mix something that feeds your soul and feeds the business.
It's a win-win.
I mean, what else is there?
Right.
I mean, isn't that a life very well lived?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me what you like about, in general, combining music with business.
I think combining music with business, I think, brings it full circle. It's not just business. I mean, especially for us as a content company, it's almost like you need visual, you need audio, you need the marketing, you need the analytics of everything to come together to make one really effective product.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool to not have to go to a canned music library
mm-hmm.
to actually pick something out, and even worse, having to pay somebody for that.
Yeah.
When we can actually create our own in this incredible studio.
Yeah. I think the flexibility of being able to create something that's custom and with purpose for whatever content or whatever purpose, it's just amazing.
Yeah. I remember back when we did a video marketing project for a Marriott in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't quite find the right music out there, and we were pressed for time.
Mm-hmm.
But one afternoon, we just kind of got creative and had some fun and put the music hat on and just kind of let it go. And
and
we ended up with the best piece of music
mm-hmm.
to put out there in front of the client for them to select which one they liked against other pieces of music.
Yeah.
And it was custom made.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave that video its own soundtrack that is identifiable to that piece of video.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. It gave it a personality that is unique to any other marketing video, because it's the only time that piece of music has been used.
Yeah.
By the way, you were the composer on that piece of music.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome.
And we got to name it. I think we named it something creative, like the street that the hotel sits on in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. So when we first built the studio a while back,
mm-hmm.
now the studio was designed and built as a collaboration with my friend and cohort. They used to call us Frick and Frack back in the day when we worked at A&M Recording Studios.
Yeah.
Roland Alvarez and myself kind of got together in this blank warehouse and started to pencil things together, and we ended up creating the studio. And then once it was wired, and that's when you came into the picture, when we were at that point when we were actually hand-wiring the patch bays and all of the signal flow throughout the studio, which was all point-to-point, custom solder, you know, Megami
everything.
Cable, everything in this building is done custom. Now, we had to start to break it in we started to invite a lot of local musicians. We brought in some musicians from other parts of the country that were part of our circle back in the days of A&M, and kind of brought everybody together to collaborate, you know, this and create some music off the cuff, not really having
game
any
plan or
anything like that, just to break the studio in. And then once we did that, we started this thing called
The Friday Sessions.
Yeah. So it was cool. We would put out some marketing on it out on social media, LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and all of that and Twitter. And we put together some cool marketing pieces that were shot during our first break-in session and all of that. We got a lot of people wanting to come by, and then friends of friends and musicians that knew a songwriter or a bass player, a percussionist, or even, you know, a saxophone player, cello player. And so all of these people started to show up on different Fridays, and we started to collaborate. And we began to kind of curate from that experience. And we've really identified a lot of really great players, songwriters, people that are out there trying to do it and make it happen on a daily basis, putting the hard work into it. And this has seemed to be a really great place to collect that type of talent, the people that are in it for the music, for the collaboration, and understand that the collaborative, almost like the old jazz players playing together, they're not playing for themselves and what they think. They're playing off of each other. They're kind of vibing off each other. And instead of somebody kind of sitting there and being opinionated, they're actually like, oh, I really like that. You know, it's much different than what I do, but, you know, I can see the talent that this person brings to, you know, all those sorts of things.
And taking that and then maybe putting their little touch on it and just kind of building off of ideas open-mindedly.
Yeah, Open-Minded Companies. That is our parent, Open-Minded Companies Incorporated, DBA, Artists of the Industry.
Yeah, there you go.
So music, I don't know, man. I'm a rock guy.
Yeah.
I grew up playing in heavy metal bands and hard rock in the 80s and stuff, and it was fun, a little, you know, a little excessive at times.
But
and I'm glad I survived it and all of that.
Comes with it.
You know, and sometimes I look back and see some of the folks that maybe I was collaborating with that didn't quite fare so well in life.
Yeah.
Continued down the, you know, still smoking the pot on a regular basis.
The lifestyle.
And the lifestyle of, you know, being a musician, an artiste, you know, instead of trying to find a way to get serious about it.
Yeah.
Make it all about, you know, what? How can I do this and actually do it all the time.
And professionally, you know?
I mean, it's so fun to walk into the building every day and know that my first, you know, order of business is conference call for the virtual reality project or a meeting with Coca-Cola about the next event coming up.
Yep.
And getting that team together and all of that. That team's been highly curated, and we've brought some full-time employees, staff on. It's been awesome. But sometimes it's great to just kind of walk down the hallways from the front to the back and hug a guitar along the way.
You
should always hug a guitar every day.
I mean, it is.
This beautiful piece right here. This is a 1997 Gibson Les Paul Standard Black, and it is beautiful.
Amazing.
It has such a wonderful tone. And surrounded, you know, we've got DW drums back there, a 1968 Marshall with a 1968 Bassman amp, 75 Les Paul Deluxe Gold Top with P90s in it. You know, that's a lot of rock and roll.
Sure is.
But, you know, it's so fun to have the analog and, of course, the beautiful grand piano Yamaha that actually used to belong to Mark Harvey, the studio general manager at A&M Recording Studios back when I worked there.
That's crazy.
And a good friend, Ron Rogers, brought it into our existence here, and it's just a pleasure to have it here.
Yeah, the history behind that's probably incredible.
So what has been some of the most exciting? I mean, we've sat over there on that couch and watched rehearsals here for live performance of showcases of bands that are going out that actually recorded and wrote some of their music here.
Yeah.
While we were working on getting our publishing company set up and all of those sorts of things. And I know that you've built the operation and the whole music production side of things where producers and engineers can come in. And mm-hmm. all of those things are happening now together with all of the corporate VR stuff that we are working on right now that really drives the revenue source. And it's going to be a lot of fun to actually mix more revenue source from the music side of it down the road and have you kind of take that lead and kind of move with it.
Tell
me about that experience and how that's starting to come together and how you feel about all that.
I think it's coming along really great. I think it's just it's baby steps. It's a slow process because it's building a business within a business, you know? So there's lots of paperwork, there's lots of organization that people don't realize that's beyond just the music. I think it's just coming together really great, you know, just one step at a time.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking about business, I mean, do you think musicians, all musicians that consider themselves great musicians, actually consider it a business? Or do you think that's...
I don't think they do, but I think they should, you know, because again, it's called the music business. It's not just called music. So even if you're an independent artist, there's many ways to bring revenue and get paid for your music, whether mm-hmm. it's performing live, releasing it yourself, using, you know, distributing websites. There's just so many ways to make money with music.
Right.
You know, it just takes the not so appealing side of it. And it's just a lot of research, a lot of networking, and just getting on your computer.
But isn't that considered selling out?
No, not at all. Definitely not considered selling out, which is funny why people still say stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, I mean, if you want to do music professionally and for a living, you know, you got to do the business side. You got to balance, you know, maybe one week you're writing music, the next week you're doing computer work and networking and going out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what have you learned most about the publishing side of the business? I know that laws have changed, there's mm-hmm. new legislation and all of that, which has been great to understand. So what processes did we have to go through to kind of get ourselves starting the process of setting up the publishing side of things so artists are paid properly?
Yeah, so becoming a publishing company, we need to be registered with BMI and ASCAP. Just because we don't know what writers we're going to work with. Some writers might be with BMI, I'm with BMI, and I think you're with ASCAP.
Yeah.
So we need to be able to collect the money from each, you know, PRO, performing rights organization. We need to collect the money for our artist. So it's just, you know, a lot of paperwork and making sure that we can register ourselves with both companies. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Just lots of paperwork.
And there's other performance right organizations mm-hmm. that are not BMI and ASCAP, like CSAC and others that that are a little off the beaten path. And I know that CSAC, you actually have to be invited.
It's like a bit of a prestigious kind of a thing.
Yeah,
but,
right.
you know, we'll get there.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So we actually had to connect with attorneys and mm-hmm. and look at the new music laws and formulate some contracts that serve different purposes for whether we're working with an artist or we're working with a client,
mm-hmm.
working with producers. Engineers play a big role of that.
Yep.
And then the writers, of course, and the mm-hmm. co-writing and the split. Explain the split.
I think before you even walk into the studio and we start collaborating, I think it's very worth our time or everyone's time in general to communicate and be transparent as possible and fill out all the necessary paperwork. One of the big things is a split sheet. All it basically says is your name, and it splits the two pies. When you think about publishing and licensing, there's two pies. There is the writing and songwriters, and then there's the composers and beat makers. And each pie, you can divvy up, you know, who should get what percentage in each pie. So for BMI, I know for writers, it's 100%, and for composers, it's another 100%. So if you and I were composers, it would be 50-50, but only under the composer pie. If we had three writers, they would get 33.3% of the writer pie, you know? And then you make sure you just document all that before you begin, so then there's just no arguing, no egos or anything afterwards.
Right, yeah. It's very, very good to get things in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Upfront.
Then there's also the copywriting too afterwards. You know, you can't really license music unless it's very legit and it's copyrighted. You have the split sheets and everything.
Yeah, I noticed that. I know that there are, you know, music supervisors out there that are looking for good music. There
Absolutely.
Is a market for it.
Yeah.
But they will not work with just a songwriter that just records music and doesn't go through all of the business side of it to copyright their music and put it out, because all of that really protects everybody involved if things are properly copywritten mm-hmm. and go through all the correct channels to collect the money side of it.
Yeah.
So money's a strange thing.
It sure is.
Lawsuits happen if it's not done correctly.
Yeah.
It's going to really mess you up and take your eyes and ears off the music that feeds your soul pretty quickly if you're not careful.
Yeah. And I think although music supervisors are looking for music, and I think what's going to set us aside as a publishing company is that every day we're constantly in the background reaching out to them. We're not waiting for them to come to us,
right.
you know?
Yeah, I know that we're putting a lot of different samples, like just on our website.
Mm-hmm.
With the artists that work with us, knowing that
yeah.
it's just basically out there as sample work of the mm-hmm. quality that we have coming out of here. And that is so cool, because the diversity that we've managed to pull together has been
everything.
Pretty cool. I mean, we have a small library right now,
mm-hmm.
but it's growing slowly. And that doesn't mean that everything eventually that's in our library for samples will be recorded here,
mm-hmm.
but they will probably be tied to the organization in some way.
Absolutely.
You know, whether they were recorded in Nashville or Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
or wherever, they are still part of our circle of trusted, kind of curated
yes.
partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
But it is fun to be able to say that we wrote it, we recorded it,
yeah.
we mixed it, we produced it, we mastered
Everything.
It right here at Artists of the Industry.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that means we take this serious.
We definitely do.
There's some great classical stuff we have right now that's been used for our own marketing purposes.
Yep.
The great down-tempo piece that you did for Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the kind of rootsy kind of, you know, country flavor.
Yeah.
And then some of the jazz stuff and rock, heavy metal stuff.
Yeah.
That is going to be great for soundtracks and independent films. And
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of fun doing this part
yeah.
of it. And it's serious.
Yeah,
it
sure is. And I think what's cool about us working with so many diverse artists is that there's just so many different outlets for commercials and TV and film. They're looking for everything. There's not just one genre anyone is ever looking for, you know?
No, what I've really, really enjoyed doing is taking an artist that might be from this genre,
mm-hmm.
but then bringing it into a modern
yes.
kind of sound, you
mm-hmm.
know, modern production.
Yeah.
Modern production skills that have come a long way that mix both the analog, which Artists of the Industry has a full front analog
mm-hmm.
front end.
Yep.
But we have all the digital tools and plugins and all of the
mm-hmm.
great things that we can, you know, work with. We can do pop, we can do rap, we
yep.
can do country, we can do rock, we
mm-hmm.
can do, you know, prog, we can do alternative punk
yeah.
rock.
Yeah.
You know, all of those sorts of things and blend it all together, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
the best part.
It just depends on the purpose of what the song is meant to be for.
Exactly.
I mean, what is it meant to be?
Yeah.
Is it just meant to stand on its own? Then
mm-hmm.
great, put it on a record album.
Yeah.
Is the song meant to be remixed and produced and put into a place where it's going to carry a commercial
mm-hmm.
or a segue?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is it for? It's got to have a certain purpose in
yeah.
order to make money off of the music
mm-hmm.
and allow to sell out, basically.
Yeah.
Which I love that
yeah,
term.
Yeah, I'm down to sell out.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just about making it a business and doing it professionally, I feel, you
yeah.
know.
So what's next on the music agenda for you?
I think for us, we're still building the catalog every day in the background. We're updating our website because we are going to launch the publishing side, and we're working all of the kinks out and ironing everything out to make sure that it's smooth and ready when we do the grand launch of it. So pretty much just that.
Yeah. I mean, we started out pretty much knowing that music itself was not going to be the driving force that kept Artists of the Industry
yeah.
Surviving
mm-hmm.
For a long, long time. I mean, my goal is, and I know that my business partner, Jim Carlson, our goal is to have the company outlast our existence in the business
sure.
and keep it going.
That'd be amazing.
And music was always a part of that, but we knew that it would eventually have to ride the coattail of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the great thing is that we got to, you know, find great customers, reestablish connection with our old customers from our last company, and offer them products in the tech field while building a tech team and all of that. And I think we've come a long way and established that right now. And what that did is now we have a credible brand. And right now we're really capitalizing on the actual brand and its existence, because you can't build a brand overnight.
No.
It's a long game.
Yeah.
It's a long game. It's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
It has to have all kinds of twists and turns, with the basic foundation being the same, but along the way you make adjustments and changes. And in order to really be a credible licensing, publishing type of entity that is taken serious, you have to have that brand and notoriety. And I think it's been fun to curate all that in the background, almost as our own personal hobby in the background, while we're building the business side of it and the nuts and bolts and logistics at the same time, at the very same time, actually putting a great product out for our customers and delivering digital content that is new to the world. I mean, we're actually breaking ground and coming up with things that have never actually been done in the marketing world.
Yeah.
So music's going to be just, you got to have the music too.
I mean,
don't
even
forget about the music.
Yeah. And I mean, and even beyond the music, it's, you know, if we are doing VR, we do ambisonic audio as well. So when people get into the future and they start doing VR content, you know, that's a great way for us to use our own original music along with the ambisonic audio mixing.
Yeah, I know that we have a relationship out in Los Angeles right now where we're starting to talk about using our audio tools and the production and composing skills to actually bring it into VR music videos and gaming in a whole different kind of live VR environment. The big VR venues are becoming a real thing.
It's crazy.
And you need to be able to, you know, design an ambisonic sound. And I'm not just talking 5.1, 7.2, or 7.0, or 10.2, or any of that. We're talking, you know, 120 sound points to where if you see a bird fly from left to right, or you see a guitar player go from left part of the stage to the right and up to the center,
you feel that.
You feel it. I mean, they're putting vests on people to feel the bass.
Yeah.
Not only are you playing in that environment, you're actually feeling the music, and
you're
become
there.
Part of it. And VR is going to be an incredible way for the next generation to actually enjoy music in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And it really starts with the grassroots. You're still
making music,
and playing the music. You know, you still have amplifiers and guitars to plug into, and drums to bang, saxophones to blow, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just God. It's so, I mean, the passion and the ability to do it in new ways and keep that passion alive in so many different ways just continues to feed the soul in a digital world. And I think hey, I just came up with a tagline for Artists of the Industry. You know,
what?
Fueling the soul in a digital world.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Because that's basically what we try to do every single day. We try to fuel our own souls, and we try to put amazing digital products out. And hopefully our clients will actually feel that music as part of what we put out there to feed that soul and make the corporate kind of sales and marketing experience actually have a whole new soul.
It's
all possible. So any closing words on as far as the music side on this wonderful Friday afternoon here in Chicago?
Man, nothing huge. Just really looking forward to launching our publishing company, building and curating lots more music, and just having fun with it.
Yeah, awesome. So I think down the road, I mean, we'll continue this series on music and kind of share with everybody our road towards our success in the music industry, the new music industry, and all of those that are part of it. And we'll start to maybe bring in some of the artists that we work with, some of the session players, some of the songwriters, composers, and we'll sit, whether it's with one of us or whoever might be in-house that day, maybe some cool B-roll of behind the scenes of us working with all of these artists, creating the creating the library that's going to, you know, eventually be curated and have lots and lots of different kind of styles and purposes for the music. And we'll incorporate all of those people and make sure that we're promoting them as musicians, songwriters, and helping their career. Because that's really what we're all about. Yeah. I don't think we're for everybody. I don't think Artists of the Industry was made to serve everybody.
Yeah.
But I think it was made to basically curate itself into something different that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let the music do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Cool. Awesome.
All right.
You're listening to the AFEI Radio Network.